Do you have a question about an interesting fact, or do I need to make up one?
Oh, you can make up one. Thank you. Thanks for being here.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for being here today. We're going to go to the book of Genesis. Interesting fact about myself. I grew up in PNG, so I'm a missionary kid. That's interesting. One of my hobbies is scuba diving. I learned to scuba dive as a teen, and I enjoy doing that. Anybody have any questions? No? Okay. Let's go. Genesis chapter number 39. I'll be looking at the life of Joseph and just learning from him today. Genesis chapter number 39. It's the first time I've preached in English in a couple years now, so bear with me if I stutter a little bit. It's just because my brain's trying to think for the right word, okay? Or I could start speaking pidgin to you guys, and you guys would all be like, "What is he saying?" So Genesis chapter number 39, we're going to look at verses 1 through 12, but I'm going to read verse 7 and 9, 7 through 9, and then we'll get into our lesson today, okay? So Genesis 39, 7 through 9. Bible says, "And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, 'Lie with me.' But he refused and said unto his master's wife, 'Behold, my master wrotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand.'" Basically, he's been good to me. Why would I do this? Why would I do that? And then verse 9, "There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And that last phrase in verse number 9 is really what I want to think about and what I want to look at today. And how can I do this wickedness against God? Think about where Joseph's at. If you go back, Joseph was this youngest of his 11 brothers. And then he had his brother Benjamin come later, but he was that young brother that was annoying, that all his other brothers hated. He was the favorite of his father, and he went from being that brother, popular in the eyes of his mom and dad, but not really liked by his brothers, but having this big family that he was a part of, to being sold into slavery and going to Egypt, where we find him now, in a land where nobody knows him. Nobody knows his God. Nobody knows his background. But yet, he still chose in that moment to say, "You know what? I'm not going to do something that I know my God doesn't want me to do." And today, as we think of the big picture of stand, in this conference and standing for the Lord, one of the things that's going to come after you when you try to stand is temptation. And Satan's going to use everything that he can to cause you to fall, cause you to turn away from God, cause you to do something that God doesn't want you to do, but maybe the situation that you're in, you're going to justify it. And we find and we can learn from Joseph today how that we can stand even when we're caught in a bad situation. We can still take a stand for God. So let's pray, and then we'll get into the scripture this morning. Dear God, I thank you for your word. I thank you how it teaches us and how we can learn from even stories way back in Genesis, God. And Lord, I pray that Joseph's life today would be a help to our life. Would help us to maybe see some things that we're doing in our life that we need to turn away from, or maybe just help us, give us that strength to when those temptations come that we can say, "No, you know what, I'm going to follow God. I'm going to do what God wants me to do." God, I pray for these teens. I pray that they'll take a stand in their life for you. And I pray you'll just bless your word today. Teach us from it. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Joseph went from being a favorite son to a slave in a foreign country. Joseph could have run away from God. He could have blamed God for his situation. Joseph could have refused to work under his new master, Potiphar. He could have said, you know what, I'm not going to do that. You can't make me. And he could have suffered greatly because of if he had that attitude. Joseph could have sinned against his master out of revenge. He could have said, you know what, Potiphar gave, you know, put me in his house and he has a lot of nice stuff here. I'm gonna start stealing stuff. He could have listened to Potiphar's wife and did it out of spite of his situation. Joseph could have sinned against his master to get revenge. But Joseph did not do that, and God blessed him for doing what is right. That's one thing as you study the life of Joseph. Joseph goes from this situation, then if you go down to the end of this chapter, he gets put in prison because he does what's right. But guess what he does in prison? He does what's right. All the way to when God brought him to power to be prince over Egypt, Joseph continued to do what's right. When he had a chance to take revenge over his brothers, guess what Joseph did? What's right. And that's the story of Joseph's life. Even in bad situations, he still did what's right. God took Joseph from a slave to a prince because Joseph had the character to escape temptation. Today we are going to learn how Joseph escaped temptation and how we can too. So what are some lessons in this chapter in Joseph's life that we can learn from? It didn't start with Joseph saying, you know what, I'm not going to do that sin against my God. That's not, you know, normally when we think of this story, we think of Joseph being tempted and him running away. And we're going to get to that. But in your life, my life, and Joseph's life, decisions that we make down the road start today. And Joseph, when he first went to Egypt, I believe what helped him fight this temptation was that Joseph did right in a bad situation. So he didn't go to Egypt and have a bad attitude about his situation. He didn't go to Egypt and sat around angry because of what his brothers did to him. If he did that, he wouldn't be in the position that he's found in this chapter. Joseph did right in a bad situation. We live in a world that wants to blame everything around us for why we can't do what's right. We live in a world that is very, that wants to take circumstances and say, oh, I'm just a product of my circumstance. Now, I understand that things around us does affect what we become and what we do. There are effects there, but it shouldn't be an excuse to be like, oh, this is who I am. In New Guinea, one of the major issues that especially in Bougainville, that with a lot of the men is alcoholism. And I've counseled and dealt with a lot of men that have this in their mindset. This is who I am. I can't get out of it. This is how it's always going to be. And what does that do to them? It leaves them in the bondage of alcoholism. It makes it so they don't have hope in their life. And that's exactly where Satan wants you and where Satan wants all of us. He wants us to think, oh, because of these circumstances, nothing good can come out of that. So this is how it's going to be. And then when Joseph went into slavery, when he was sold by his brothers into slavery, I think all of us can agree that that's a bad situation. That's horrible. He didn't go to Egypt and say, you know what? They did wrong to me, and so I am just going to be bitter and angry. No, he went down there and he said, you know what? This is horrible, but I'm gonna please God. I'm gonna do what God wants me to do. I'm gonna have the work ethic that God wants me to have. I'm gonna have the character that God wants me to have, even in this horrible situation. And so Joseph showed character in Potiphar's house. That's why Potiphar allowed him to prosper in his house. The Bible says in verse number 2, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. The idea of he was a prosperous man was not just that he gained wealth for his employer, but it was the idea that he did what is right. The idea that he prospered not just economically, but he prospered spiritually. He was actually growing in his spiritual life in these circumstances. He was actually using these circumstances to get stronger, not to say, you know what, I have a good excuse now. Character is a moral quality. I like to define character this way. Character is who you are when no one's watching. You know, I grew up in a missionary home. I grew up in church, and we understand that as a missionary kid, I would travel throughout America in different churches, and there was a standard, and there was a you need to do this as we're traveling, and there was a lot of pressure in that. But you know, that wasn't my true character. That was what I knew I had to do when I was at churches, when I was sitting at tables with pastors, and that's what my parents said, this is what you need to do, and you're gonna get in trouble if you don't. My true character came out when my parents dropped me off at college and said, okay, you're on your own now. When I got my first job and people around me weren't talking the right way and were saying things that I, growing up in a Christian home and very sheltered, was like, what in the world? People really talk that way? But I had to develop my character in those situations where I didn't have mom and dad saying, hey, this is how you're supposed to act. When I didn't have a pastor, a youth pastor, encouraging me to do right. Joseph didn't have anybody. Nobody knew his God. Nobody cared about his God or what his God had to say about the circumstances. But Joseph said, you know what? I'm going to do what's right, even when nobody knows. And that's what character is all about. And that's the type of character that God blesses and talks about in Psalms 1, verse 1. Blesses the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. For his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Joseph did what is right in a bad situation. Don't let a bad situation give you the excuse to do wrong. But secondly, we see in Joseph's life, Joseph remembered God in a heathen land. Joseph remembered God in a heathen land. Another excuse that I found myself making, and I think is a very common excuse, is, well, nobody else here is doing that, so why should I do it? We like to follow the crowd, where it's natural. It's natural to do what everybody around you is doing. But as Christians, we're called to stand out from the crowd. We're called to be different. And Joseph remembered God in the heathen land. Egypt, during this time, Egypt was a polytheistic, as far as their religion goes, it was polytheism. They had many gods. They worshiped all kinds of stuff. They worshiped the sun. They worshiped Pharaoh as a god. They worshiped the Nile as a god, as a source of life. They worshiped, they had a god named Osiris, which is a god of death. They had all kinds of gods. They had gods for everything. And when, I'm sure when Joseph said, hey, I can't do that against my God, they would say, oh, what God do you worship? Well, it's okay. If that God says you can't do it, then this God, he's okay with it. So you're okay. Just worship another God today if you want to do that. That was their mindset, their culture. Oh, if this God doesn't want me to do it, then you know what? I'm going to worship this God today so that I can do what I want to do. But Joseph remembered his God, the God of his fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Joseph, in his remembrance of God, he feared the one true God. He realized that he was worshiping the one true God, and that it wasn't a God that he could manipulate. You know, a lot of false gods are gods that a lot of false gods are gods that people think they can manipulate. I worship that God and this and this about that God, but you know what? If I can, he can't see me. Or if I, and a lot of people treat religion that way. They do what they think God wants them to do while they're in church and while they're being religious, and then outside of church, and they just do whatever they want. But that's not the God of the Bible. That's not the God that Joseph was serving. Joseph realized that, hey, even though I left my family that worshiped this God, even though I left the land that this God had blessed my family with, my God's still with me down here in Egypt. Because my God is the Almighty God. My God is the God that is omnipresent. He's everywhere at every time. My God, even though my situation is really bad right now and my situation doesn't look good and I would be much easier just to do what everybody else is doing, I know that my God is still in control and my God still has a plan. We know that Joseph believed this because when you go to the end of the story, when his brothers are scared, when his dad dies and his brothers are scared that Joseph is going to take revenge on them, he said, listen, don't you understand that you meant it for bad, but God meant it for good. God is sovereign in all this. God knew what he was doing. Joseph feared his God. That term, the fear of the Lord, is throughout the Bible. And, you know, when we hear the word fear, we kind of think, oh, yeah, I'm scared of heights and I'm scared of spiders and I mentioned I scuba dive. One of the scariest things about scuba diving is, when you first think about doing it, it's like, oh, what about sharks? And so the first time I saw a shark, I was breathing hard. I was like, and then I realized that, you know what? He doesn't really care about me. He just came up, looked, and turned around and swam away. He doesn't really care. But there's things that we're scared of. But you know what? God's not sitting in heaven saying, I hope you're as scared as me as you are of a shark or a spider or whatever you're scared of. No, the idea of being scared, the fear of the Lord, is the idea of respect, reverence, piety. Piety isn't really a word that we use very often, so I looked it up in an old dictionary. Piety has the idea of obedience out of love of God's character. Obedience out of the love of God's character. It's this idea in Psalms 34, verse 11 through 14. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. So, hey, listen up. I'm going to teach you what the fear of the Lord is. What man is he that desire life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The love of the fear of the Lord is to basically respect God so much and love God so much that you're going to do what you know. You're gonna follow him. You're gonna obey him because you know he loves you so much. He's not leading you the wrong way. The idea of fearing God is that listen. There's two paths: following God or following this world. This world we know has it out to destroy us because that's what Satan's plan is. He's a liar. And he wants to kill and destroy. God loves us, and he wants to give us abundant life. So the idea of the fear of the Lord is that, you know what? It's not fear like, oh, I'm scared. It's like, I trust God more than I trust this world. I love God so much that I'm going to follow what he tells me to do more than I'm going to be scared of what peer pressure is telling me to do. Proverbs 8 and verse number 13 says this, "For the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance, and the evil way, and the forward mouth do I hate." Proverbs 19:23 says, "For the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil." How do you win against temptation? By fearing the Lord. By fearing the Lord more than you fear a person, peer pressure. By fearing the Lord more than you fear what man can do to you. Joseph had that in Egypt. Joseph was in Egypt and he remembered his God. In a heathen land, he feared his God. He respected his God. He did not think, "Oh, well, I'm not with my dad, so I guess it's okay. I'm not going to get in trouble by my dad." He didn't think, "Oh, well, I'm not where we worship God, so he's probably doesn't care about me down here." No, Joseph knew who his God was. And he feared his God in Egypt. The last thing we see in Joseph's life, so we see that, how did Joseph win against temptation? How can we win against temptation? Joseph did what is right in a bad situation. Don't let a bad situation give you an excuse to do wrong. Do what's right no matter what. Joseph remembered God in a heathen land. There's nowhere where you're going to end up. There's nowhere where God's going to allow you to go where he's not there with you. It might seem like he's not. It might seem like, I'm sure Joseph had those times when I'm all alone in this heathen land. Nobody cares about me. Nobody even knows who I am. I'm sure Joseph had those moments. But guess what? He also knew that his God was there with him. His God was there in the worst of times. So Joseph remembered his God in the heathen land. No matter where you're at or where you're found in your life, know that God is there with you. Even if you don't feel like it. It's very dangerous to put your spirituality into feelings. I don't feel like God's with me. Well, you know what? He promised that he is, so it doesn't matter what you feel like. Now, it's great when we feel like God's there, right close to us. That's an amazing feeling when you're in a situation you know that God was guiding you through. But sometimes you're in a situation where it's like, you know what, I don't really feel like God really cares. You can know this. He does, because he said he does. Because he promised that he's there and that he cares about your life and cares about the direction of your life and where it's going. He has a perfect plan for you in your life. So Joseph remembered God in a foreign land. Joseph ran from temptation. Joseph ran from temptation. We go back to our text. Joseph ran from temptation. So realize that Joseph, it didn't start by running away. If you read the text, it talks about how Joseph day after day told her no, 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 no. And then it got to that point where she was just not listening at all. And that's when he's like, man, saying no is not going to work in this situation. I need to get out of here. Joseph realized the situation and he ran away. The Bible tells us that he ran away leaving his garment with her. We don't know what this was. It's some kind of clothes, jacket, a robe maybe. We don't exactly know what that garment was. But we do know this. He cared less about that garment than he cared about his character. And he took off and he said, you know what? It doesn't matter what I'm leaving behind. I'm getting out of here. You know, to fight temptation, there's a lot of times in temptation, Satan will use things that we hold dear. Maybe it was Joseph's favorite coat. I don't know. But Satan will a lot of times trap us in things where, oh, I don't want to let that go. But the only way to escape temptation is to let it go. Sometimes it's a relationship. It's a friend. And we know that friend is leading us away from God, not towards God. We know that friend is actually being used to tempt us to do something wrong, not help us to follow God in our lives. But we'll say, oh, you know, I'll just keep saying no, keep saying no. There'll come a time in your life where you'll have to decide, are you willing to leave that friend behind to save your character, to follow God? Or are you going to let that friend pull you down? Sometimes it's a habit. We know we have habits that tempt us. We have habits that make us lazy. We have habits that make us more susceptible to temptation. Maybe it might be a favorite show we watch or a video game. Now listen, I'm not against that stuff. I watch shows. I used to play a lot of video games. I don't anymore. But those things are fun. But it's very easy to let those things take you away from God. And it's very easy to get involved with some of them that you know, hey, I don't think God would like me to do this, but or like me to watch this. But you say, it's not that big of a deal. Are you willing to let it go to follow God? What are you willing to leave behind to get away from sin? And you know, I found in my own life that many times when I've fallen into sin, it's because I'm not willing to let something go. That it's kind of like, oh no, this won't do that to me. And then a few months later, it's like, oh, here I am. Man, I never wanted to get here. Why? Because I wasn't willing to let it go. Joseph knew that in order to keep himself from sin, he simply had to run away from it. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 said, abstain from all appearances of evil. What is the Bible telling us? Run away. Get away from it. Don't think. One of the biggest lies of the devil is this: I'm strong enough to handle it. Can I tell you something? You're not. No one is. Think of the story of Samson. I'm not Samson. I'm not that strong. Nobody is. But guess what? He thought he was strong enough to handle a lot of things. And he realized that he wasn't. Don't think that, oh, you know, I can control this. That's what Satan wants you to think. But the reality is, and that there's things in our life that if we see it taking us the wrong way, the best thing to do is get away from it. The best thing to do is say, you know what? I'm going to break this CD and never listen to it. Oh, you guys don't listen to CDs. I'm going to delete this and never put it on my phone again. I'm going to leave it on my phone, but I'm just gonna not go there again. You're lying to yourself. Joseph got away. Run away from sin. Don't think that you're strong enough to handle it. As we conclude, doing what is right is always the best choice. Don't let what someone has done or is doing to you give you an excuse to sin. No matter where we are, God is with us. If everyone else is doing wrong, fear God. Love God so much that you trust and obey Him more than the people around you. If you get into a situation, run. Whatever you leave behind is not worth the price of your character. If you want to take a stand for God, Satan's going to say, hey, they think they can stand for God. I'm going to try them out. I'm going to give them a test. And we can learn from Joseph today how we can win that test. Don't make excuses. Follow God. Do what's right no matter what. And when you know that you need to get away from it, don't be scared. Who cares what people say? Who cares what you leave behind? 5 years down the road, you'll be glad you ran instead of stayed. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the life of Joseph. God, I pray that we would stand for you, that we would live for you in our lives. And God, no matter where we go in this world, you're always with us. And God, I pray that we would love you so much that no matter what's going on around us, we would choose to do what's right. And when temptation comes and tries to knock us down, I pray, dear God, that we would have the courage and the strength to run away, to care more about what you think and what you want in our lives than what other people are trying to get us to do. And God, I pray that you would help us to follow you no matter what. Dear God, I pray that you would bless this conference. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.